Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kolek, step back. Rebound, knocked to the outside, and that's it! This march to remember continues for NC State. Who could have imagined the Wolfpack in the Elite Eight?
The road to the college basketball championship goes through You Better You Bet Countdown to Tip-Off with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley.
You hear that, NC State? You want to make the Final Four? You got to go through us. You're on You Better You Bet. I had Eagle with the call last night. Oh, just God,
hitting
man.
Hitting their head into blocks. Hitting their head into block after block after block. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough game if you're Marquette better, if you're a Marquette fan. Man, like, they got a path here. If you had known that Duke would have won the second game, too, that would have been your next opponent instead of Houston. And instead, you're just out. And NC State's absolutely insane run of the last 3 weeks continues, and they looked great in the game. I mean, really, like, outplayed Marquette. Marquette couldn't shoot very well, but NC State played well.
Ian Eagle with the call last night on CBS. A good job by our engineer today, David Dykstra, playing that highlight coming back from break with the final call of NC State winning. I mean, truthfully, what we should have played coming back from break would be one of Marquette's 27 bricks from downtown. The Golden Eagles shooting 4 clang. Of 31 from 3. By far their worst shooting performance of the year. That's great. That is exactly what you want. Take Marquette to the Final Four in your bracket. You bet them in the game. Lay the price. Yeah, who needs to make three-pointers? Just missed all of them. Just miss all of them. And you just lose. We'll get to the line movement for all four Elite Eight games coming up in a moment. PJ Glasser will join us coming up next segment here on the show. We dedicated basically the entire first segment to the Duke-Houston game, which was the most newsworthy game from Friday night in the NCAA tournament and the most impactful one. NC State beats Marquette to advance to the Elite Eight. The Wolfpack will play Duke coming up tomorrow. And then we'll get it's the end of the world as we know it. Regional final in the Midwest. Matt Painter and Purdue, the one seed, blow out Gonzaga. And then Tennessee and Rick Barnes use a pretty incredible 18-0 second half run to pull away from Creighton. So one of Matt Painter or Rick Barnes will make the Final Four tomorrow. We will see if the Earth hurtles off its axis and into the sun at the conclusion of that game coming up tomorrow. Outside of Houston and Duke, the other three results last night, Ken, what stands out to you from Friday night in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, I certainly hit on it, the historic nature of Tennessee and Purdue playing. And, you know, it's, I can't remember a time when it was a 1-2 as chalky as you can have region, like in your bracket. You're like, well, I have the one advancing and I have the two advancing. And, you know, if you told somebody that, be like, well, who do you have in the region? Be like, I got Tennessee playing Purdue. Be like, ah, stupid. Why would you have those coaches playing each other? Like, you should have somebody else. And it's such a bizarre setup. Like, two teams that have been the best teams in that region, for sure, two of the best teams in the country all year, and yet viewed as, like, improbable that we would get the matchup between them. I was just so impressed watching. I know Gonzaga's defense was not great yesterday, and they let Purdue open for a lot of open three-pointers. The telecast whip hammering that point a lot. But I just still thought they played great. I really thought, like, just watching them, I just go, man, like, I think UConn would beat this team, but whew, man, probably like the team I would think is obviously most likely to make it on the right side of the bracket to play UConn in the final. Duke has an easier path. They play NC State. Purdue's got Tennessee, but like team quality, you're just more likely to win. Maybe it's Purdue and not Duke in the final. Just kind of like how I would see it. And, you know, I don't know if there's anything else that's like that notable necessarily. Just that in Rick Barnes' case specifically, like, you know, Matt Painter, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, never made the Final Four, whatever. But the games have not been very compelling. They've been blowouts, like not really compelling stuff. Rick Barnes, who, again, is like the butt of a lot of jokes, frequently gets eliminated early in the tournament. They had his record up in Sweet 16s. It was like 1-9 or 1-7, something like that. I mean, like a jarring statistic to see with him as the head coach in these rounds of the tournament. It basically passed the first round. If you bet against Rick Barnes for a decade and a half, I mean, you're listening to the show from your private island right now. I mean, it's gone really well for you. And he's had two games now where there were moments in the game where you go, nope, Rick Barnes, like, here we go again. Shoot really, really poorly from three against Texas. No team had shot that poorly from three and won, like 0-68 or something like that, historically, something like that. And they beat Texas. So you got to get the bad shooting game. And so, you know, sometimes that's the NCAA tournament. It's a three-point variance contest. You mentioned Marquette, Caleb Love for Arizona, RJ Davis for North Carolina. Like, this is how it happens. You know, like, you just don't hit the shots. And sometimes that's the way it goes. Tennessee had that game. They won anyway. And then, so that was the first kind of Rick Barnes game that they get over the hump. And then I'm sure I was not the only person, as Creighton's coming back from this, whatever, 16-point deficit in the second half, that's just going, oh, my God. Like, this would really be something. I mean, and it would be almost typical if Tennessee were to figure out a way to lose this game in which they had built a huge lead, played great, as you mentioned, in the second half. But they win that, too. They make a couple plays down the stretch, and they win. So just it's funny, like, the two different situations where you go, like, oh, like, here's the Rick Barnes moment. And the Rick Barnes moment is, like, they play great, and they win. And so it sets up, like, a really compelling regional final.
And two incredible players in that game. Zach Edey, obviously the two-time National Player of the Year, soon to be National Two-Time Player of the Year. 27-14 yesterday against
Gonzaga.
Felt like
he had 10. Where, like, he had no points.
Mean, yeah. I mean, this is the offense. It's like it's literally like in grade school. If, like, there's a sixth grader playing on the team that's like 10 inches taller than everybody else, you just throw him the ball and he lays it in. Like, it's outrageous what happens. And I'm not criticizing him. He's a great player. 27-14 last night for Edey. Dalton Connect, Tennessee's best player, with 24 last night, leading the Vols to the victory over Creighton. All right, PJ Glasser will join us coming up next segment on the show. Mike DeCourcy still to come. Brad Evans still to come. All our bets for the Elite Eight round. And maybe we'll throw in some Major League Baseball, NBA, and NHL as well coming up, final segment of the show. But for now, line movement, side and total analysis for all the games this weekend with this edition of It Moved.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think it moved.
It moved.
Yes, it hits different. Does it? The Saturday of the Elite Eight round in the NCAA tournament. Nick and Ken here on Countdown to Tip-Off, getting you set to bet this weekend in the big dance. We will begin 6:09 p.m. Eastern tonight. Nice. In Boston. And this is the Kevin Harlan team on the call with Dan Bonner, Stan Van Gundy, and Andy Katz. In the East region, Ken, as Connecticut looks to make it back-to-back Final Fours and route to maybe back-to-back national championships. The first time that would have happened since the Florida Gators in 06 and 07. Standing in UConn's way, third seed, Illinois. A team with obviously a tremendous ceiling, making for a compelling game tonight, at least on paper. We'll see what happens when the game starts. Ken, what are we looking at here with UConn and Illinois in the East?
Yeah, I mean, two interesting things. Kind of in this game and in this betting market, in the first three games that UConn's played in this tournament run, 16 seed Stetson, Northwestern, the winner of the 8-9 game, where they played in the second round, and then San Diego State in the championship game rematch from last year. In all three of those betting markets, UConn took a lot of money, and they opened as a certain favorite. But, you know, depending on the game, it was a different number, and then it closed a different number because they got bet, and they got bet out, and they were a bigger favorite than when the market opened. And I was curious, this game's a little different. Illinois is a lot better than a lot of the teams UConn's played the last 2 years. We had a brief conversation earlier this week on the show. Is Illinois the best team that UConn's played during this one-and-a-half tournament run? Arkansas and Gonzaga would be the two opponents last year that you would point to, and then be like, well, wait, who'd they play after that? They played Miami, who was like the kind of the NC State of this year. Miami made a crazy run to the Final Four. That was UConn's national semifinal opponent. Then obviously they play San Diego State, the team they just played, a better version, but they play them in the championship game. You know, no one seeds, right? No North Carolina, Duke, that kind of like the big-time teams. This is kind of as close as it's gotten so far. So it's not that UConn can't win again by 15 or more, continue the run they've been on. Just curious to see, like, if they're presented with a game in the final 4 minutes, 8 minutes that's tied or one possession. They played none of those in the last two tournaments. Those games haven't existed. They've just been entirely like UConn by multiple possessions at the under four timeout, and they play great. And part of it, they execute so well. But you just, you know, I think Clark Kellogg, I think the term he used yesterday from CBS was when he came on the show, like game pressure. Like, can we apply some game pressure to UConn? Is this going to be the team that does it? Obviously, top-end talent with Terrence Shannon's like absolutely outstanding. But one thing, just to get back to the original point about betting markets with UConn, hasn't really happened here. They haven't gotten bet yet, at least. If it's going to happen, it hasn't happened yet. They opened basically 8.5 everywhere. There's 1-9 on the board, but it's still basically 8.5 everywhere. So maybe for the first time all tournament, bettors and kind of influential bettors especially are not lining up to back, you know, the team that has literally covered every single number the last two NCAA tournaments, won every game, covered every number, and you'll be curious if they do it again in this game.
155.5 the total, and it's if Illinois plays its A game and you get like a C game from UConn, is that enough for Illinois to send UConn packing today? Because if UConn shows up with its A game, it's a bye-bye Huskies back in the Final Four. That is the first game coming up today. Then we will have 8:49 p.m. Eastern. I don't know why they come up with these tip numbers. In Los Angeles, this is the Brian Anderson, Jim Jackson, Ali LaForce team. In the West region, it is not North Carolina and Arizona. Instead, we have the college football playoff special here with Alabama and Clemson. Hunter Renfrow going to have the ceremonial tip-off of tonight's game. Bama coming off the upset against North Carolina. Carolina, Clemson coming off the upset of Arizona. Ken, what's our betting matchup here, side in total? We'll get a surprise entrant to the Final Four from the West with Bama and Clemson.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I mean, I think, look, everybody who filled out a bracket, I should say most people who filled out a bracket, probably had one of North Carolina or Arizona winning this region, maybe had both of them playing each other in the regional final, and you get none of that. I mean, you know, if you lose your bracket this year, you're going to be looking at this region being like, well, that was the reason. Like, you know, it's a UConn, Purdue, Duke, and what? Like, what happened here? Clemson or Alabama? I think a lot of people are probably asking themselves that. It's worth noting, and this doesn't happen every year, four regional finals today and tomorrow. Three of them will be rematch games from games we've already seen played this year. This is one of them. The two on Sunday are also rematch games. One's a double rematch game because it's two teams from the same conference. Teams played in non-conference play. Look, like, you can try to pull things. It's, you know, it's November and December. You'd be like, well, they did this. It is just worth noting, like, Clemson shot absolutely nuclear from three in the game in order to win, like more than 50%, I think, from three-point range in order to beat Alabama in the first meeting this season. Look, is there a lot you can take away from that? I just mentioned it's a three-point variance tournament. One day Caleb Love scores 30, the next day he's, 4-for-17 or whatever he finished with. Like, that's the way it goes. One day Marquette's one of the great shooting teams in the field. The next day, can't make a shot whatsoever. They lose to NC State. Like, nothing, no guarantees in the fact that Clemson shot well against Alabama. What'll be really interesting in the game is style contrast. Like, Clemson did a great job against Arizona of basically never letting them get out in transition, all five back on every single defensive possession, slow the game down, generate a really good shot, and sort of using a lot of the shot clock. And then you have Alabama, who is like sort of just like the roadrunner, basically. And how do these two teams fit together when I think you have two teams that really want to do something different? Who wins when that happens? That's going to be really interesting. The betting market has been out in favor of Alabama in this game. We had a guest yesterday who moves money for professional bettors who literally said, like, they sent him Alabama and he filled the orders, which means he went to go make the bets. So Alabama was a 2.5, 3-point favorite. Now there are 3.5s on the board. There's also 1-4 on the board. And the 4 on the board is at Circa, who takes the most money and generally has the sharpest action. So interest in Alabama in the game.
Yeah, Bama at 3.5 right now, total 164.5. So if you like Clemson to keep the game close, you get Clemson more than a possession. That's the number right now at our show sponsor, BetMGM. Ken, maybe we can get it started here on Get It Started with Tennessee and Purdue. Maybe NC State Duke a little later in the show. I was a little surprised by the number when I saw it this morning. I thought Purdue would be a little bit of a bigger favorite. This is 2:20 p.m. tip-off tomorrow in Detroit with the Andrew Catalan, Steve Lapis, Evan Washburn crew. Midwest region here, Ken. Give us a little bit. We'll do it later in the show. What are we looking at with Purdue and Tennessee?
Yeah, we already mentioned, Duke more likely to make the Final Four than most of the team, 6.5-point favorite. So maybe we do that game later. They played in the quarterfinals. Tennessee-Purdue was a game at the Maui Invitational. Purdue beat Tennessee in that game, just like they beat Gonzaga in the Maui Invitational. So Purdue seeing a lot of familiar opponents. Purdue has gotten bet a little bit, opened 3. Now they're a 3.5-point favorite in a few places. Just worth noting, Tennessee guard Santiago Vescovi was a late scratch last night with an illness, an impactful player, not like Dalton Connect, but a player you'd want out there. No update, obviously, on his status as a college athlete. So tomorrow, maybe we'll figure out if he's recovered from his illness. Obviously, Tennessee would want to be at full strength.
Just my opinion, I thought Purdue would be a bigger favorite in the game. I like the Boilermakers at that number. On the other side, the Glass Man coming. We'll find out what PJ Glasser, he's been on fire with his bets. What is PJ Glasser like this weekend? We're going to find out next.
You're listening to You Better You Bet Countdown to Tip-Off on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.